Good evening. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this evening. Appreciate that children's class. That was interesting, and it's something that we can be as older people too, is servants cleaning out, spreading the gospel and being an example of the gospel. Also appreciated the message this morning, and the thing that stood out to me in the message this morning that stood out in my mind is, you know, that if we have faith, we can make it. We can overcome, and we can get to the end and be with Jesus. And this morning, as when I sat down, we were singing the song, When We All Get to Heaven. And that song struck a special chord in my mind of, you know, tonight what I have to share is about an ordinance, the veiling, and the thought that went through my mind when I sat down to hear that song is we were singing about, you know, how great it's going to be with Jesus. And the thought went through my mind that is, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about one ordinance or one thing or one little thing in our lives, or we get all upset about this. You know, why can't we just be focused on we're going to be with Jesus someday? And but, you know, I think that's an idealistic thinking, because for us to actually be there, we have to have faith. And for us to actually be with Jesus, sometimes these things seem very small, very unimportant, that we're making a big deal about these things. And but, you know, if we slip on one, then others become more like that. And it can cause a chain reaction in our Christian lives and a downward slope. Anyhow, those thoughts were special to me this morning. They encouraged me and to share even tonight. I did not like how I'm not saying this in that I was upset. I was just saying that, you know, I feel the expectation is high tonight, and I feel like I might disappoint you. But I want to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us, and that I won't disappoint you, but you can look to Him, to Jesus, to get fulfillment out of what is being said tonight. So my topic is tonight about the veiling, and I have a hard time just writing down a topic, I'm afraid. I have a lot of pages here, but I have 30 minutes, and I think I might be able to cover it in that time. In our society, the veiling is an unknown tradition, and among Christian people, it is becoming a forgotten tradition, and many times it's explained as unnecessary. When people find it in the Scripture and ask about it in other Christian settings, they might explain it away. And I want to encourage us tonight about the veiling. In our recent men's meeting, we discussed the head veiling a little, and it was brought up that we need to teach and remind each other how we believe and how we have decided to wear the veiling in our church. So I don't really feel like I am the best person to be giving this topic tonight, but I did pray, and I thought about it a lot. I looked at a lot of different things about this topic, and again, I just asked the Holy Spirit to help me to say things plainly and have love and kindness at the same time. So I want to set the premises for this topic by saying that I'm not going to spend very much time reading or explaining 1 Corinthians 11 or proving why we believe in the wearing of the veiling. I think that you're either happy to obey the word and consider the ordinance relevant, or you're not. And I know that's just saying that too easy, maybe a little casual, but I believe there's truth in it. You know, it is true that there are people who accept the practice of wearing the head covering as relevant truth, and there are those who consider it for a bygone generation. And therefore they say, it is a truth, but it's not relevant for our day. And today there is much effort into proving which side is right, because it's an ordinance that is difficult to obey. And one reason that it is difficult to obey is because it presents us as odd or different to the main people around us. Even in a lot of Christian people, we're looked at as odd or different because we practice it. It seems to me that people who are wanting to say that the ordinance is not relevant for our day are the ones who are playing the offensive role, while the people who want to hold on to this ordinance are the ones who are playing the defensive role. Ideally, it's better if we are in the offensive. But because of the United States getting further away from God, we see obedient Christians being more on the defensive than the offensive. And when I play, I don't play much. I used to play when I was younger quite a bit, but I don't really want to play Jay Miller anymore. He probably beat me too much. But I would rather be playing on the offensive in a game of chess than I would defensive. And if you know how to play chess, you might. It seems like when you're playing chess and you're on the offensive, it's just going good. But once you get in defending yourself, it's just very hard, difficult to come back. And I'd much rather be on the offensive. But I think that's the way it is for Christians today. We not because we've done so much. Well, maybe we did do wrong. Maybe we didn't stand up for what we should have or whatever we did. But because of the way United States, the Christianity have taken God out of our country, I think that we as Christians end up being in the defensive more than what we know. I'm not saying that we should be happy being there or that is the best place for us to be. I'm just saying I think that's realistic. So as I said earlier, that you're either on one side or the other. That's true, but I don't think that's correct. What is correct is that we don't spend so much time dwelling on proving our side, but simply living the truth and presenting the Bible faithfully. This is maybe an idealistic idea, but I believe it is important because in the generation that we are in living right now, it seems that if we just simply live and practice what the Bible says, just as it says, that speaks louder than us proving our side or what it says. And I don't want to be looking at this with rose-colored glasses and saying proving is wrong, because I believe there are many people that who do need to see proof. But I do fear that we have too many Christians proving their argument, which is resulting in more people becoming doubtful of a certain doctrine because they hear too much people being focused on which side is right or which side is wrong, and not hearing about the gospel itself or the biblical doctrine just as the Bible prescribes it. We're all into interpretation instead of just taking the Bible plainly as it's saying. And one thing that came to my mind that I didn't go search an answer for is, but I wrote it down here quickly, is a question: who wants to get rid of the covering? Who wants to explain the covering away, the head covering? And there's many other ordinances, but I'm just focusing on that. Is it the sinner or is it the Christian? And, you know, don't Christian people spend more time trying to prove that we do not need to obey this ordinance more than the sinners? I don't know the truth of that, but that's what I think. That's what's in my mind, that we have more Christian people in America trying to say that we don't need, that this ordinance is not relevant, than we do the sinners. And this thought lines up with what I see in Christians who decide to quit wearing the head covering. I know of many of my own relatives, even, who quit wearing the head covering, who suddenly start doubting other biblical teachings. So when we say one ordinance is not relevant, we open the door for another one, and the devil could care less if we doubt the whole Bible. And so I think when Christian people take this step and they take it away and they start trying to prove how they're right in not obeying the complete Bible on all issues, they open the door, and it's a general slide from there. They don't know where to stop. If that one's wrong, if that one's okay to get by with, what about this one? And it continues on down that slope. So I added this for anyone who has doubt as a means to encourage you to accept this ordinance as relevant and obey it fully. In going forward now, though, so I'm going to assume everyone here tonight is committed to being obedient to this passage, while realizing that some people, some of us, do struggle with this passage. I'm not saying that you are abnormal if you do struggle or you lack desire to obey it from your heart. But if you are here tonight and you are struggling, my goal is not to run you over with a, you know, freight train of criticism, but simply to remind us all that what we agreed to and why. So I want to read from our faith and practice what we, in this church specifically, what we agreed to, and then give reasons why we agreed to it, and also give reasons why it was written the way it is. So in our faith and practice, it says, the devotional veil, in accordance with the teaching of God's word, that the Christian woman should pray or prophesy with her head veiled. And then it points to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Our sisters are directed to wear upon their heads at all times publicly and in the home an appropriate veiling as taught by the scriptures and approved by the church. Their hair shall not be cut. Appropriate for the Kootenai Valley Mennonite Church means that the veil should be more noticeable than the hair. The flowing veil may be worn rather than a traditional covering. However, it needs to hang below the hairline, be of non-decorative or lacy material that veils equally well and be either white or black. And that's what it says. So I was going to just say a little bit about that. It says what is appropriate for our church. So we are not saying that the way we do it is the only acceptable way to wear it. To wear it to please God. But we're simply stating how we as a church agreed to wear the veiling for our church. It's our way of administering this ordinance. We said that we want to wear it hanging below the hairline in order to cover more of the hair. And when we made this decision, most of the sisters were wearing the... now I'm going back in history. But this is a little bit how I remember it. I did not read this off of minutes. I remember when we were making this decision. I think most of the sisters were wearing the white mesh covering that some of our sisters still wear, except at that time we had a few young ladies who had recently become part of our church who were not raised using the white mesh covering. And to be more consistent with our belief and also to allow the ladies to wear the veil, we decided to give the option of switching to the veil and yet leaving it open for the ladies who are currently wearing the original white mesh covering. And also we wanted to let them continue on doing so because there were some who felt that they were raised that way. They felt that it was maybe going the wrong direction to go to the veil. They had concerns. So our goal was to honor those who were taught that way instead of trying to convince everybody to do exactly the same thing since it was our original way. And the reason, so that's why we had a little, we wanted to be consistent with Vail. Most of the people felt that way, but we wanted to honor those who were not thinking that way as strong and to be peaceable among us. The reason we wrote about the veiling being a hanging veiling and to hang below the hairline was mostly out of a response or a concern that the brethren had. Many of our, and you still see this today, but many of our relatives were moving to smaller coverings or no covering at all. And we all felt that it would be better to say how we felt about this rather than let it change into a small covering. And because of this concern, we decided as a church to write it plainly how we wanted it to be, flowing and hanging below the hairline. We didn't want to have a veil to get smaller by having people deviate from this, because then we would be not much different than what the original covering that many were wearing at the same time. And the whole reason for moving toward the veiling was to be more consistent with scriptural teaching. We also stated that it be non-decorative or lacy material, simply so the veiling would stay, again, more consistent with scriptural teaching. We were also seeing people that were transacting to a transparent lacy material or more like a very small cloth, which in our way of thinking was a dishonor to the principle taught in the scripture. So after hearing what is our way, that's why we came to it, and there are some of you out there that could correct me or maybe say it a little more clear. I'm not sure, because I don't believe that I remembered every detail exactly correct. I tried to summarize what I remembered and also what I remembered hearing from our minutes. But after hearing what is our way, if we have went away from our way that we wrote down, I don't think it's because we changed our mind about this, but probably because of ignorance or not realizing that we meant it to be this way. And again, I'm not saying that because we decided to do it this way, I'm not saying that is the best way and that is the only way. I'm only saying that we, as our church, it was our way. It was our group of believers decided how we wanted to administer this ordinance. I'm speaking plainly, and not because I want to put anyone on the carpet or anything like that, but to encourage each other to abide by the agreement that we made. You know, it's discouraging when several members take their own way on issues like this. And I believe we need to be patient with each other, show love and kindness to each other by not judging those who are weak in obedience, but also those who are weak in obedience realize that it is not showing love for the brothers and sisters by taking your own way either. You know, that is like saying to your friends, I'm more important than you. I don't need to necessarily listen to everything you say or you that we are together on. So you don't have to agree with us or with the decision that we all made that it's the best way. But if you are a member of a church, out of love and respect for the brothers and sisters of the church, you should abide by it. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. I would like to read from 1 Corinthians 11 a little bit, and you may turn with me if you like. I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 16, and I'll make a couple comments on there, but I'm going to go a little different direction from here. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn.
But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the Lord is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourself, is it calmly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any seem to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the churches of God. I'm going to stop there. You know, there is a lot that could be brought out in this passage, and that could be explained and could be proven, and I'm not against that. But again, I'd like to just say, because of time, I'm going to assume that we all agree with it and we all want to obey it. So just in brief, I believe what this scripture is saying, what this passage is saying in a very simple form, is a Christian woman should cover her hair with a covering, and I have just two reasons. There's a lot more other things in this chapter that I'm not going into. But the two reasons I'd like to focus on just a little bit is to let people see you and know that you believe, or to let people see that you know or that you believe in God's method of authority structure, because it is written after the authority structure. And then also, the other reason is to cover the woman's beauty and attractiveness for her own husband or husband-to-be. And, you know, woman's hair is beautiful. It brings glory to her. And she should save her glory for her husband. God wants it to be muted and not share with the whole world in a frivolous way. And then, and to bring this out, I'm going to read real quickly out of 1 Peter a little bit. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also, who trusted God, adorned them, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So to go more on this point, God wants Christian women to be attractive in their heart more than their outward appearance or their outward beauty. I don't believe this is saying that women should dress sloppy or try to be ugly, but dress so that your outward beauty can be muted and the inward beauty can be exemplified. God created women beautiful for her man or her husband, not only in her hair, but also her body, her character, her mannerisms were created so she would be attractive to her husband. And easily these can overpower the opposite sex if they are flaunted or not muted in the public or in a normal day living. And I believe in muting the woman's glory is one of the biggest reasons for the head covering. Although I would not disagree that it proves the authority structure as well. But muting the woman's glory does follow the headship order too. Because the feminist movement are the ones who started the flaunting of the feminine glory in the first place. So I believe their agenda was to equal with man's role. So it is connected with headship authority structure in that way. I'm not going to say no more about that at this time. But I'm going to change a little bit now too again and ask a couple questions and maybe just give some, not that I have the answers, but maybe give some different, some common questions that I have heard. And one is, when should a young Christian lady begin wearing the head covering? At what age? And, you know, I would say the most practical time is when a young girl starts taking on the shape of a young woman. I'm speaking plainly, and I pray it can be accepted. But it fits the most practical time for a woman's glory to be muted. There are churches that start wearing it at different times, and I don't think that they are wrong. But believe this is the most practical time, assuming the person is a Christian. And another question, common question that people will ask, and I've heard even from among our own people, why not just when going to church or personal prayer time? The scripture says when praying or prophesying. And this is a common question that people have, and many churches say that this is what they believe in. They believe in wearing the headship covering or head covering when they're praying or prophesying or when they go to worship at church. But it does seem when they say that they are weak in their practice. I have noticed that they say that's their stand in their church. But when they practice it, it's not very practiced very much. So they're weak in that area. The scripture does not say when you pray and prophesy in public. It simply says when you pray and prophesy. So I would say that if I would want to be able to pray and prophesy at any time, not just when I go out to public. There's another question that I've heard many times too. It's not fair that men do not have to do anything. The women are carry the whole burden of this ordinance, and the men don't do anything. And, you know, the difference is, I should read this one verse here, if I can find it here again. One of these verses talked about how the man is glory to God. Anyhow, the difference is, though, that, you know, men, we don't have that outward attractiveness that women have to the opposite sex. And so, We still have a burden to bear with them, but there is a difference there that I want to be plain about. That is the reason that women do wear the head covering. But men, if you should support your women, your wife, your daughters, in the practice of the head covering. And I would just like to suggest some ways that we can support them. Even if you're not married, young boys, you know, I think there's a ways that we can support them. If you believe in the doctrine in this thing as a young boy, then these are ways that you could show them. And I think it's in your dress. You know, our ladies wear they sew their own dresses and all that. And so they don't really have much choice of going to the clothing store and buying all the latest clothing, stylish clothing. So I think that's one way that we could support them. I don't think that you should go out of the way trying to make a big deal about this, but we don't have to be buying clothes to make ourselves look, to lift ourselves up and to have to have all the same brand name clothing, always trying to be dressed with the latest fashions. You know, we as men can just dress normal clothes. We don't have to go to the mall to spend all the extra money on expensive clothes and to make ourselves look cool or boost our ego. You know, maybe you might think this is far out, but maybe let your wife or mother choose your clothing. I'm not saying it has to be this way, but I'm saying if you really want to support this ordinance as a young man, you could consider some of these ideas. It's a way that you can be consistent if you believe in it and you plan to marry a woman that believes in it too and support her, and likewise as we as men. We can go a long ways. Also, I think of men and young Christian boys wearing a hat. I'm not against wearing a hat when you need weather protection, but I have seen some men wear hats even young boys so much that you don't even really know what they look like without the hat. And there are good reasons to wear a hat. I know there are. But if it's just to so you fit into a certain way so that you wear this hat so you look a certain way, I'm not sure you should be wearing it. According to the scripture, I'm supporting the scripture. I'm not trying to give my opinion. You know, it says, but even nature itself teaches us that we should to be respectful. We need to take our hats off in a public place. So to be consistent with asking our wives to listen to this passage, I just ask, how much should we wear this hat? And I'm not making an ultimatum or anything. I've had this question in my mind, and it's made me think that I wear a hat, and I need to wear a hat sometimes, but I just think that we need to be more careful with some of those things. I don't think we should go so far extreme to make any kind of a judgment on it. I think it's a question that we as men can ask ourselves about. So in closing, I hope that we can be encouraged to obey this ordinance with contentment and without doubt of its relevance. If you study the history of this ordinance, you will find a lot to dispel your doubts. If you want to strengthen your faith, there's a lot out there, and there's a lot I read that I didn't even share with. I didn't share tonight. There's a lot to study. You can find. If, however, you are wanting to find reasons to quit practicing this ordinance, you'll find people to support you in that too. In reasons, but if you study the history of it, of this ordinance, you're gonna find about to not wear the head covering and not practice it. There's gonna be 50 years, maybe a little more than that, that will of history to support that teaching. But if you search the history of actually supporting this ordinance, there's at least 2,000 years of history that supports it. And that was interesting to me to think about that. That means a lot to me, actually. And I want to say this kindly to those who, if there's anyone who doubts this ordinance, you know, please don't focus on the ordinance itself, because most of the time, a particular Bible teaching is being questioned, there is a deeper problem that needs to be given to Jesus to ask how about that problem. Normally, when people are trying to find a reason not to obey a Bible teaching, that particular problem is not the root issue. And so I'm just saying that if you find yourself really wanting to pick on the head covering and doubting it, I think it would be healthy for you to take your focus off of that point and ask God to look into your heart deeper, because there might be something deeper there that actually is more of the issue that he could work on. Thank you for your attention, and I am going to turn it back to you, Jordan.